This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
From the Aloe Fiber Studios this morning. Glad you guys could be with us here. Yeah, the good times, sometimes they come to an end. It's not over, but this talk of, you know, Broncos, Nuggets, Avs, nobody losing in regulation, the Nuggets are the first one to fall. They lost to Chicago last night. You haven't seen this version of the Nuggets. It was just a bad game. You know, a lot of times last year, it just seemed like, okay, team they're supposed to beat, they just don't look ready to play, and then you have a disastrous third quarter or something, and then you never really recover from it. That was kind of the case in this game. But they did recover. They were down 13 in the fourth and came back and actually got the lead. Ultimately, they lost 130-127. We can talk like, Denver was out of position. Vucevic was, you know, he was pretty good late in that game. He was 3 of 13, 2 of 8 from the 3-point line, but he hit some big ones that mattered. And when Denver was trying to kind of bracket him and body him down in the paint, a lot of times it was like Joker or other, mainly Joker on that, but didn't get out cover. I mean, just out of position on the 3-point line. And Chicago went 19 of 53 from the 36% from the 3-point line. And Denver was 14 of 36, 39%. Cam Johnson got rolling. It was cool to see that. He was 5 of 7. I'm just not at this point where I'm seeing all the online stuff of, oh, can we talk about Nikola Jokic's defense? Just not there. And man, they're 10 and 3. I'm not like, They're going to have games where they just don't look good. They're also without a starter in Christian Brown. That messes with the rotation a little bit. Bench was not good, though. The Bulls bench, is this a typo? Outscored the Nuggets 66-9? Is that right? Is that what I wrote down? 66-9. That's a number that we were used to seeing last year. That's what I'm saying, like, that game reminded me of the Nuggets from a year ago, save for that comeback where they got the lead. Jamal Murray, key turnover at the top of the key, somewhat the top of the key. And that kind of ended this thing. 130-127. Faith, can we still be friends? I don't know. She says, I do love the Nuggets, but I'm a Chicago girl, so was rooting for my Bulls last night. Sorry, Brady. Hope I'm still a hooligan. Yeah. You're a fan of enough of the things we talk about here. And heck, even Dixon's a hooligan, but he's an arch nemesis hooligan. By the way, where's Dixon? He's pretty quiet. He's pretty quiet this week, Mike. Although, I will give it to him. He had fears about this game. He worried about this game. So even as a diehard Chiefs fan, he was kind of willing to call it out. Like, Denver's defense is pretty legit, and maybe this is a game where Bo Nix gets going. Well, that happened. I want to get into some of this later because, like, Mike, I did it. I got another deep dive for us that we're going to break into today. I'm comparing the 2015 Broncos to the 2025 Broncos, and I'm seeing all the national guys before the Chiefs game, maybe even a little bit after the Chiefs game. Like, yeah, this defense is really freaking good, but their offense is bad, and Bo Nix is not, you know, he's barely average. It's not sustainable. Why isn't it sustainable? If this were the other way around, Mike, and the Broncos' offense were top five in all the categories and they were really good, and their defense was middle of the road, because let's say, make no mistake about it, Denver's offense is not the worst in the league. They're in the middle of the road on almost every category, slightly above middle of the road. But I'm asking you, Mike, you've watched the NFL for a long time. You've watched college football. If I were to spin it around nationally and say Denver's offense is number three in total offense, number five in total passing, four in total rushing, third in points per game, and the defensive stats were all the offenses, which is 13th overall, 17th, 11th, and 17th. We'd be talking easily, nationally, we'd be talking Super Bowl, right? If Denver's offense was one of the best in the league and their defense was just average, we'd be talking Super Bowl. But because it's flipped, because we're an offensive-obsessed society, we can't go there. They can't win the Super Bowl. That's not sustainable. A great defense is not sustainable? I seem to remember the last Super Bowl the Broncos won was sustainable. You guys, it's not always going to be the 1998 Denver Broncos. It's just not going to be that way all the time. It's not going to be last year's Philadelphia Eagles, where you have all these amazing offensive weapons and a really superior defense. It doesn't always work out that way. Was what the Giants did sustainable when Eli Manning was winning Super Bowls? Didn't feel like it. They were, weren't they an 8-8 team one of those years and they won a Super Bowl? There's no,
I think they
like,
were 9-7.
Whatever. There's no, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Thank you for the stat correction. I Steinered it. There's no written rule of how to do this thing. You can be critical of Bo Nix. I certainly have. But don't sit here and tell me that they can't win a Super Bowl by doing the things that they've done for the last 11 games. They can. Now, when December will be a pretty interesting month. They have one game left in November, but December was where we saw the fall off for this defense. And that is a realistic concern. I'm not saying that Denver's defense is going to play like this all year, but I'm also not saying they can't. I think the bye week is coming at a very interesting time, a very good time for this defense. Now, last year, when they had a really good defense, you know, in 2024, they did catch the bye, you know, around week 14. So kind of around the same time. And they came out after the bye. They beat Indianapolis 31-13. It was two games in there, though, in the month of December that really kind of rocked Denver's defense. They lose to Los Angeles 34-27. And then we had that shootout against Cincinnati where they lost in overtime when Cincinnati was making that monster run. And they gave up 30 and went to overtime at Cincinnati. This bye week's coming at the right time, but also based on last year, the bye week was, it didn't really matter. You still got in the playoffs, but defensively certainly took a step back. I don't know if that's happening this year. This seems like a more disciplined team if they can stay healthy, which they haven't, but they're getting guys back. At least two of the big ones will be back, should be back by the time they take on Washington. Yes, Michael.
Now, they did have injuries in the defensive backfield, and Riley Moss was slower. He was slower.
He slowed down
because of that injury.
Yeah. So, Moss is better this year than he was last year. And anybody that says it otherwise, you're not really watching. It's easy to criticize him. The ball's going his way all the time.
Yeah. So, like, he's better this year than he was last year. Also, he was hobbled in the month of December because of his injuries. Also, the Broncos just weren't as talented in their front four as they are this year. I think they've stepped forward another level.
I think so.
They were good last year.
This year. It's more of a disciplined team. Now, I know they've been penalized a lot, but a lot of those penalties are on the offensive side for Denver. So it's more of a disciplined team where I'm not as worried about this back half of the schedule or less than half of the schedule for Denver. Eastside Chris texting in, no more Nuggets talk. Perfect six-game parlay, and the Nuggets killed it. They got to them. They must have got to him. Well, there's got to be Nuggets talk. I mean, they lose their... This is the third game. They've lost... Third loss of the season. Forgive me if I'm not freaking out and sitting up here saying, oh, wow, defensively, they were really bad. And they weren't great. But, I mean, dude, I'm sitting here right now. Even the best teams in the league, every 10 games, they're going to have a stinker. Every 10 games or so, there's going to be a stinker in there. You just can't have the stretch of them where, you know, now you got, what, the Pelicans coming up next on Wednesday night, tomorrow night? You don't want to see, like, that one where it's a repeat performance where it's going to take a 13-point comeback to beat the Pelicans or to at least make it interesting. They're on the road against the Pelicans, and they're on the road against Houston. Pelicans are 2-12. You should easily win that game. So you just don't want it to be like, okay, here's a bad team. Chicago wasn't like a bad team. They went on like a 5-game losing streak and snapped that. I don't know. My assessment is basically like it's bound to happen. So I'm just not freaking out. Texter from the 9700. Yeah, John Fort Funny. John Fort Fun is one of my favorite texters because he changes it from Fort Fun to not Fort Fun, not so fun, now Fort Funny. I like it. I thought
you better have a pun.
I thought the national pundits also always harp on defense wins championships, no matter what sport. Can't have it both ways. Exactly. So why is it changing for the Broncos? Why suddenly is 9-2 with arguably the best defense in the league and arguably the most average offense in the league, maybe a little better? Why is it that, oh, this isn't sustainable? Because they're 9-2, the record is flashy, and it gets a lot of people talking and a lot of people excited, and the national people like to dissect and dig into that and give you all the reasons as to why they're not going to win a Super Bowl.
Also, it's a fourth-quarter offense. Like, it is a fourth-quarter offense. They fail a lot in the first three quarters, and then they turn it on in the fourth.
But devil's advocate, that does not always seem sustainable. Because can you do that against the Bills when they're playing at their best in you know, December or January? Can you do that against – and that's what's also interesting about this. It's I'm trying to think of the obvious teams that would scare me. Can you do that against the Chargers again? I mean, right now it would lead us to believe that they can. I understand that part of it. See, what you bring up actually – that's the part where I'm like, yeah, let's not. The fact that they got the two, they were just field goals, but they got those two quick drives, scoring drives. One was mostly due to Marvin Mims' punt return, but you did score twice in the first quarter, or in the first two possessions. And I thought that was significant. Now it slowed down the rest of the first half, and then it picked up again in the second. I just don't know if there's this written rule of how you're supposed to win.
I mean, historically, like, a lot of times that just, I think, tends to fail. Like, if you need to stop, like, you can win those close games, but they're not always going to be close, and you can't, you know, you can't just leave it to the fourth quarter every game. You just can't do that.
Right, and that's the part we're talking about that's not sustainable. If Denver gets down by multiple scores often, weren't they down two scores to Philadelphia? They were down a lot of scores to the Giants. You don't want to live that way. You can still win those games, but saying that's not sustainable for probably like a 10-game dose, you don't want to get down by multiple scores too often in the fourth quarter.
It would be more worrisome if that were the case. This isn't the case.
No, they're down like one score in the fourth.
They're within one score throughout the game most of these
games.
Or
like in the Chiefs game, they were up the whole time, and then the Chiefs get that lead early fourth quarter.
So and they're still within one score.
They're calling it a fourth quarter comeback, but yeah. I mean, yeah, they came back in the fourth quarter, but Denver was up or tied the majority of that game. So
yeah, so technically it's a fourth quarter comeback, but they're within one score.
Yeah.
Like that's not I don't call that that's not sustainable type of game. What I would say is not, you know, what if they were down, like you were saying, two scores every game,
that's a little crazier.
I could understand them saying that's not sustainable.
They're in the games every time, except for that, we'll say that Giants game, right? They weren't in the game. There was a very small percentage chance that they would win that game. Magic happened and they did it. That's a more dangerous way to live. But I'm just saying, like, guarantee you the national people, if the roles were reversed and Denver's offense is ranked top five in all these major categories and Denver's defense was average, the national people would be calling for the Broncos to win a Super Bowl. Like, they are the clear-cut favorite. But because it's defense, and nationally we hate defense because fans hate defense, we are saying, oh, it's not sustainable. You can't do that. Well, for 2 years in a row, other than that weird month of December, about half the month of December, 2 years in a row, you're talking about one of the elite defenses in the NFL. So don't tell me it's not sustainable, because it sure seems like it right now. And I think Bo is getting better in spurts, and I thought that game against the Chiefs, I think that Sean Payton game, that was Sean Payton's best called game, even though they didn't run the ball well, kind of couldn't, because they didn't have the dogs in that first half. Maybe that gets better. RJ had some moments in the second half. But I liked what I saw from Bo Nix. I still go back to that 3rd and 15. Bo Nix sits in the pocket, then rolls up slightly to his right and goes forward and finds Cortland Sutton. He sat and waited for the play to develop, and then he steps up and finds Cortland Sutton. He was on the run, but he waited in the pocket for it to develop. Those are the things that you want to watch for when you're watching, when you're paying attention to the growth of a quarterback. And that Cortland Sutton throw, write it down. Put it in your notebook. That in that drive, that entire drive. If the Broncos go on to win this whole thing or make a massive run, maybe they don't win the whole thing, they get close. That drive against Kansas City to go down and win the game should be something we're talking about. That should be something we're documenting when they make the DVD that Michael's no doubt going to order. You still do DVDs, I'm sure.
If I want to own something, like actually own it, I'm ordering the
DVD. And I suggest you do that because the robots, man, there's no guarantee that what you buy on your apps is always going to be there.
Well, buy a hard copy. If they lose the license, you lose your
ownership. Correct. This is why I like CDs, but my damn car doesn't play them. Yeah, I got rid of all my CDs the other day. Just got rid of them all. I have them burned everywhere, but it's taking up space. I don't know what to do with it. My car doesn't have a CD player. What am I supposed to do? Go back to what it was like in the 90s and plug something into my vehicle? No, I'm not doing that again. I thought we were past that. Why the hell can't we have CD players in our car? Why? I know this isn't your problem. I mean, you probably don't have a CD player on the scooter, so I'm probably complaining about something that you're like, dude, I don't even have anything on that scooter. Or maybe you do. Maybe it's advanced.
I don't have anything on that scooter.
Yeah. Big Hub, any CSU coach update? No. I mean, Tim Skipper is the name that keeps popping up. I thought it was interesting. A UCLA kid decommitted from UCLA and committed to CSU. Mike, do you put any stock in that? A UCLA kid that was going to go to UCLA is now going to CSU. Does that mean we're going to see Tim Skipper as the next head coach? If you want to just start doing the detective stuff, I actually saw this from one of our excellent listeners, definitely a Hooligan, the Ram U. He said, anyone else think it's interesting that today CSU flipped a CB cornerback from UCLA that didn't have us listed as an offer? A cornerback with other apparent offers from Nebraska, Louisville, Miami, CU, Arizona, Washington. Now, if that's all true, then our boy, the Ram U, is doing some investigative work, and that's fascinating. Why else would a cornerback that has those offers choose CSU over any of those other schools, Mike? Seriously.
He saw the picture of me in my lanyard, my Denver Broncos, and he's like, you know what? I want to be in the state of Colorado near this guy.
So you can just stare at him and not ask questions?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wanted to learn from me.
Big Hub says, I wouldn't be mad with Tim Skipper. Bring everyone from UCLA to CSU. This is not...
It's going to make you worse.
This is not nothing. What?
If you bring everybody from CSU...
No, from UCLA
from,
to CSU.
UCLA to CSU, you're going to suck.
What's UCLA doing now?
Nothing.
They're not on that interim coach run anymore?
No, I think they still have 3 wins.
That's pretty good. I don't know. Maybe it's fine to go with Tim Skipper. I that's the name that's popping up. Colin Klein was the one that was popping up more last week. Now we're hearing Tim Skipper more. Your guess is as good as mine, but I just think that little factoid there is fascinating to me.
I hope he gets an offensive coordinator named Gilligan.
Why?
Well, Gilligan's Island. Skipper and Gilligan.
Skipper and Gilligan's Island?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not 97, so I don't get that reference. They lost, UCLA lost to Ohio State 48-10. They lost to Nebraska 28-21. Close game. Lost to Indiana 56-6. That's not enough for you to go, eh? The fact that they battled it out with Nebraska doesn't do anything for you?
No.
You don't think UCLA's roster today is better than what CSU has right now? Or will have? Because they aren't going to have any of these guys next year.
I don't think UCLA is a very good program. Maybe they're better than CSU, but they're just not very good.
Was it their win over Penn State that got Franklin fired? Was Franklin still with Penn State at that point?
Yeah, okay. They got him fired.
They got him fired. They're the coach killer, kind of like the King Slayer in Game of Thrones. They're the coach killer. See, that's a reference that people of 2025 would understand.
I don't think Penn State has won a game since.
So, Tim Skipper, you're saying something good there. You're not voting for Tim Skipper, the interim coach for UCLA.
Maybe. I'm just saying. Like, I don't think UCLA is that good. I think it's going to be maybe a few years before UCLA becomes relevant. If they become relevant, it was a mistake
CSU.
For them to go to the Big Pac.
Why is it a mistake to go there?
Well, for them, yes. I think it was a mistake because
really?
I think they were garbage and they're always going to be bottom feeders.
CSU?
But for the other three schools, it wasn't a mistake. For UCLA.
No. What are we talking about?
UCLA to go to the Big Ten.
Oh, okay. That's what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about CSU making the jump to the Pac-12. Sorry, I lost you. I was reading a text.
No. CSU
had to go to the Pac-12. We can argue all day that it's going to be better or worse than the Mount West. But as soon as Boise State said, I'm out, you follow. Whatever happens with the Pac-12, you go where Boise State, if you have an opportunity to go where Boise State goes, you follow.
Currently the only legitimate college.
Yeah.
I mean, Washington State and Oregon State have been great in the past.
But you agree
so
with
they
that.
They are legit.
You agree with that decision, though. Oregon State, Washington State, Boise State. All enough. Those are reasons you leave the Mount West as opposed to staying with Air Force, Wyoming, and the other ones.
And Turdsville.
Are you good? You're good with that? You agree?
Oh yeah, I would. I think that was the right decision. But Pac-12 is just not. They're going to be another Mountain West.
I tend to agree with you. I'm just saying that if you want to knock CSU for leaving, knock Boise State for leaving first, and then I applaud CSU for following Boise State. If Wyoming had the opportunity, I think Wyoming should have jumped ship. Any of these teams, UNLV, New Mexico, if they had the opportunity, maybe they did, but it doesn't sound like they did.
No, I wouldn't have allowed New Mexico.
No. But you would if you had the opportunity. You should. You follow the class of your conference, and you just hope that it works out well. I don't know if it will. I mean, I don't mind their TV deals. I don't know what the money is yet, but they're on TV. That's my first question. Because I don't like this idea of like what the Pac-12 was doing when they were trying to negotiate their deal before everybody jumped ship. And it was Apple TV. Remember that? Remember those discussions, Mike? It was who was the commissioner at that time? Was that Scamparello or whatever his name was? I can't remember. Skarsgård? I can't remember his name.
What a great actor.
Yeah. Why can't I think of his name? No, you go where the other teams go. And when they were throwing out the idea of Apple TV as the big selling point to stay in the Pac-12, that's an addition. But I like, you say what you will about USA, whatever it is, CW, they're on. They're on your actual TV. You and I could turn on TV right now here at the station and watch the CW and watch reruns of Bewitched or whatever. Or Gossip Girls. But that doesn't matter. I don't care what's on before or after. I just care that you have the option to watch and I don't have to go straight. I don't have to leave every 5 seconds to go watch games. Because I like to watch games. Hey, this game's starting to suck. I'm going over here. Crap, I got to exit out of this app and I got to go into this other app. Crap, I got to sign in. What's my password? Who am I signing in as? My wife, my son, the in-laws, they're over there too. Now I got to go through that. Now I got to enter the password. Now I got to find my team, the game I want. Oh, crap, this is halftime. Now I got to back out and go elsewhere. Yeah,
you can have multiple windows open.
On your TV?
Well, if you're watching on a computer.
No, I don't. I'm not. I'm watching from my computer. I want to sit on my couch with a beer in my hand and watch like a normal human, Mike. I don't want to watch like a nerdy McNerderson with my computer dialing in. I want to watch like a normal human being watch this football.
If you want to watch games back and forth and you don't want to have to do all that, watch it on a computer.
No.
Or have one on the computer and one on the TV.
I buy gigantic screens for a reason. And I want to focus on a game, unless it's crappy or boring or halftime. And then I want to quickly exit out and go to the other one. I want to press recall and go. That's what
and
I want to do.
You can do that with the CW and USA Network, which
correct.
You can also probably, I think you can find those on Fubo if you have Fubo.
I don't care. I just want to watch. Like, watching TV shows and movies on these apps is great because that's where my mind is. I'm dialed in. But if I'm hopping around watching games because of halftime or bad games, I need something that I can go to quickly. Aaron says, I think athletes coming into today's transfer era of college football are looking for playing time immediately to boost their value. And that could be the case, too. It could just be a strange coincidence. Ah, yes. Thank you. 970. George Klievkov. John Fort Merrymaking. Klievkov. He did a number on the Pac-12, didn't he, Mike? Eastside Chris. Good one, Micah. He gets one. What is this? He gets one smaller. Then you can call him Little Buddy. What is this from? Oh. Your show from 1937.
Professor and Marianne.
See, now I'm making everybody feel bad. Faith, oh, now I feel really old because I did get the Skipper and Gilligan's Island reference. I did too.
You're not old.
Deep like, down, I got
still
it.
Play on Saturdays.
I got it. I just didn't want to go there. I didn't want to give you that. Yes, I know. I never watched it. But I knew that Skipper, I think my mom actually met the actor that played Skipper, so I knew who that was. I just didn't want to go there with you. I wasn't trying to offend anybody, but I was definitely trying to offend Micah. And nobody should complain because 9-1 ranked, JMU has a game against Wazoo on ESPN+. Yeah, James Madison, who might get into the college football playoffs, Mike, where's Flying Dutchman? Where the hell's he been? He has all the bragging points in the world right now. James Madison might get in. I'm going to break into this later on. I don't think they will. I think Navy's going to do it. But as of today, James Madison is the highest ranked conference leading team in the G5. And as we know, they take the top five conference champs. And James Madison is in there right now. So how about that? Of the Sun Belt. They would be in the playoffs today if it were to end today, Mike. And I know you hate that, but that's the truth of it.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Look, I would love to see them make it and then just get absolutely blown out by a superior school.
Yeah, well, how about Navy? Would Navy get blown out?
Probably, but I would like to see Navy not get blown out.
Navy beat South Florida 41-38.
Florida's not as good as we thought.
No, but there was a second
Boise's
we thought.
Not as good
they were
as we
ranked.
Thought.
They were 24th when they beat them.
Yeah, but Boise's not as good as we thought. South Florida's not as good as we thought.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to do this. Where I had it all saved here. Where is it? It's gone now. We'll get into it. We're way over the clock here, Mike. You allowed this to happen. We have to take a break. I got a lot to talk about. We're all talking about the trifecta with the Nuggets, the Avalanche, and the Broncos, but we've got the Buffs, the Cowboys, the Rams, and the Bears all undefeated. 4-0, save for the Bears. They're 3-0. They're going to catch up, though. They have three games this weekend. They're in a tournament. So we'll talk about that. Also, why that Pepperdine win for UNC was bigger than what the score showed. Very fascinating two-man game podcast this morning with Steve Smiley. It sounded like it was a hellacious trip for them. Not good. We'll talk about it coming up next.
For a complete rundown of all things high school football playoffs, listen to the postseason special presented by Clearwater Products, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. The Bears beat Pepperdine 88-81 over the weekend. They were in Malibu, and you're thinking it's going to be nice there, 75 degrees. They had like a tsunami situation going on there, so there was flooding going on. Roads were being closed. They were in their hotel, and they were told, like, hey, your charter bus, it's not going to be able to get on these certain roads. So they had to, like, I'm going to play back some of the podcast tomorrow on the show, Mike, because Steve tells it way better than I could. But they basically had to take the bus, go get four other vans. So the bus driver had to go drive to the rental place, get a van, bring it back, get a ride back, go get another one, and it just kept going back. The coaches ended up driving the players. They had to drive. Like, Smiley's driving one van. The other coach is driving another van just to get to the gym. They get there, and their locker rooms are, like, they can't even go shoot because there's a volleyball game going on at this time. So they can't even go warm up, practice, whatever. So they're in their locker room getting ready, and it's flooded. They, like, have to store their bags in a different place. Like, they had to take them to the showers where there was like little benches there and put all their bags up there because the flooding was so bad. And then they're in there getting ready to talk for pregame conversation, and in comes the like water polo team. They're just walking in their locker room, like just hanging. They're in their Speedos, just walking through, like whatever. Hey. Smiley's like, no, we can't have you guys in here. So they like correct it and say, hey, to the polo team, you got to go the other way around and get into your area, wherever that is, but it's a major distraction. So they had to deal with that. They get to halftime, had to switch locker rooms because the other one was so flooded. It was so bad they couldn't even go back in it and do anything. So it was so the fact that the Bears survived, and it was also Pepperdine's homecoming. They don't have a football team, so it was their basketball homecoming kind of thing. The fact that they survived this overtime win is actually pretty astonishing. It'll make you respect and appreciate that win a little bit more for the Bears and their 3-0.
Yeah, and the thing was, Pepperdine had an edge because they know so many words. They were, like, throwing words at UNC Bears. They're a smart people school.
Okay. Thank you for that. I was like, where are we going here? Jedi mind trick, you're playing here. They're a smart people school. Okay.
They are a smart people school. Yeah. I was telling your boy that yesterday.
Well, yeah, you offend Brock Wisney, what was the over-under yesterday? 14 times? How many times you were going to offend him in one four-minute conversation? And you nailed it.
He wasn't offended. He knows that I'm... He's seen the lanyard, and he's like, oh, this guy's cool.
No, they do this thing. Here's what they do. You know what it's like when you tell an inappropriate joke and someone's like not with it, and they do this thing like this? Yeah, that's funny. When they say that's funny, and they're not actually laughing, they say that's funny. That's what Brock Wisney did to Michael. Ha, that's funny, Mike. Oh, good job.
He got the joke.
I don't know. But that was a cool win for the Bears. Big Hub says North Texas would get in before Navy. I'm just telling you, like, what it looks like right now. Yes, North Texas probably gets in. But this is just what it looks like at this point. Because who does North Texas have the rest of the way? Because they have opportunities here. Because they did beat Navy. So that's obviously where they would get it. But they've got to still... They've still got to win the American. North Texas has Rice and Temple, and Navy has the rest of the way. They have Memphis and Army. Memphis's name was up there big. Yeah, they beat Navy, but how will this end? Just according to the rankings right now, and again, I know that North Texas, if it comes down to a tie, whatever, it's not going to matter. They'll play each other, right? Who would win that? I mean, it's going to come down to who would win. But right now, it sits at Ohio State with the first round bye, Indiana with the first round bye, Texas A&M with the first round bye, Georgia with the first round bye. Ohio State would be the Big Ten champ. Texas A&M would be the SEC champ. Keep in mind, one through four, regardless of conference, whatever, those are the ones that get the first round bye. They changed that this year. Then it would be, according to ESPN, this is just based off of the latest seeding and the projections, Navy would play against Texas Tech, who's the Big 12 champ, Navy listed for argument's sake, American champ. Miami ACC champ would play at Ole Miss. Notre Dame would play at Oregon. Alabama would play at Oklahoma. So either way you slice it, whether it's James Madison, North Texas, or Navy, is Texas Tech blowing them away?
There's no way this is going to remain the same because
no.
Indiana and Ohio State are going to play each other.
Right. I'm just doing it for the sake of argument right now. But how far would that knock Indiana down if they lose to Ohio State?
Probably knock them down to fifth.
Really? What if it's close? What if it goes to overtime? Is there any movement at all?
I think they would have to. I think they'd have to move them down to fifth, especially
when
at the
do
end
they play?
Of the year.
When do they play?
I think they would play in the
championship.
Championship.
Yeah, which again, that matters. The championship still matters, and that's why it's up in the air with Navy and North Texas, and I guess Memphis too.
But I would like to see both
Memphis is
in the
out.
Top four.
My bad, Memphis is out. It would be Navy. Tulane is still in the mix, and North Texas. That's crazy. Okay, I know I need a break. Sorry. Good text coming in. 44 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. Get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There you go, Mike. That'll do it. That'll do it. Great, great one. It is Top Text Tuesday. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Thanks to Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor, Top Text of the Day gets a $20 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles. Legos, Funko Pop, sports memorabilia, sports cards, you name it, they got it if you're a collector. So check them out. We're hooking you up, but I want the best text. And right now, I don't know, man. John's looking pretty good, John Fort Merrymaking, just because of the name changing. That's creative, and I like that. But I'm not sure. Every week is different. What qualifies you to win? So give me some thought-provoking stuff here. Let's talk about the Broncos. Let's get into the college football playoff scene and how that's going to look. I like this time of year, and I like the group of five. I know, Micah, you're the snob, and you don't like the G5 being in this. Is that right? You don't like the fact that we're even talking about Navy or James Madison or Tulane or North Texas. You don't even like that.
I don't like automatic bids.
I do. I like this because it gives G5 schools a chance. And if you're going to be in the same world, then you should get a chance.
Hey, good for you. Here's a birthday.
I don't think who did I hate how you are about this. It drives me. It's such an elitist attitude, and I hate it. Boise State, who did they play last year? They weren't absolutely destroyed in that game. It was, yeah, multiple score loss, but it wasn't a blowout. Boise State belonged on the field. I don't remember who they played.
But they didn't. Did they earn
yes.
a spot there?
Yeah, they earned it because they won.
They
were the highest
a token
ranked.
Spot.
They were the highest ranked. Fifth highest ranked conference champion.
I love tokenism.
That's not tokenism. Oh, I don't like you. 11:51, it's The Whole Show powered by Chevron. I hope Navy or North Texas or whatever it is, Tulane, I hope they go in first round just beat the hell out of whoever it is. Texas Tech. We'll be right back.
Preps to college to the pros. We have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You can't even just let the G5 or whatever have one spot, one seat at the table. Your elitist attitude won't even allow one seat at your shiny little too good for me football fan table.
No, we can have two different playoffs. The teams that deserve it and the teams that don't.
You can't play any of your tune-up cupcake games against them. You know, you can't get your practices in against them. You just play each other.
I'm okay with that.
No, you're not okay with that. I win this argument. It's great. It's great for college football.
Thank you for telling me what I think.
It's great for college football. You're welcome. You need it sometimes. 11:57 the time. Top stories of the day coming up. Also, Mark Johnson will join us in the second hour. The Buffs football season's not great, but Tad Boyle's Colorado Buffaloes, on the other hand, are 4-0. They're looking pretty good. We'll talk to Mark about that coming up next. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron. Top stories of the day after this.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.